Hello and welcome, everybody, to episode 10 of Why Should Your Team Win? Yeah, if you would have told me a few weeks ago that I'd make it to episode 10, I would have said for real. So I'm really thankful I've gotten this far. And also, welcome back to the NHL season. Hockey is back. And my guest, Derek, he is also back. So everyone give it up for Derek.
Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. No, some people might be like, well, can you like more than one team? Derek, is it possible to cheer for two teams at once?
It is, depending on how your priorities work. But yeah, so, I mean, if we want to get into that, so I don't know, this year's going to be really, really interesting. So initially...
Well, tell us your team that you're going to talk about.
My team is the Flyers. My team is Philadelphia. We won yesterday. That was amazing.
Yeah, exciting.
But we're here to talk about the Blue Jackets.
Indeed we are. And, you know, I would say, how did it get that way? But you've been living in Columbus for a decade, and that's probably how it got that way, yeah?
Yes and no. So yeah, I'm weird. I like new teams, with the exception of Vegas, because they went a little over the top. But I generally like new stuff because new stuff is interesting. You get to watch something grow from its inception, see how it comes along. And I was about to say, like, I'm not super duper invested because it's not my original team. Like, yeah. I'm invested, good or bad. Like, I am hate watching the Philadelphia season this year. You know, I don't want to watch, but I'm going to watch because I'm stupid like that. I'm a fan. With Columbus, everything's gravy. If we're good, awesome. I get to be here and be around and experience it. If things go bad, well, okay, no big deal. So when the Jackets arrived in Columbus, I was actually living about 2 hours northwest in Bowling Green. And that's right up near the Michigan border, about half hour outside of Michigan, near Toledo. And when the Blue Jackets came in, like, I've been in Ohio for, at this point, over half my life. So to have a pro hockey team in the NHL in Ohio was cool. So I kind of watched from afar, you know, because they're Ohio's hockey team now. And then, yeah, like you said, I've been living in Columbus now for, at this point, over a decade. And so being here in the city, being able to go to games and follow the team up close and personal. It's been fun. It's been cool. So yeah, Columbus is my second team.
Well, I have a question. So when I lived in Denver, I'd go to like home games for the Rockies, and in the stands, there'd be more fans from the other team. You know, I think that happens to a lot of teams across the states, but is that something that happens in Columbus where, like, let's say Toronto comes to town?
Okay. With two exceptions. So when the Blue Jackets first came in, everybody went whole hog except for two specific groups, Red Wings fans and Penguins fans.
Okay.
Because as I mentioned, we're neighbors to Michigan. And so if you were an Ohio hockey fan, you were kind of split. If you grew up near Michigan or Michigan side, you were a Red Wings fan. If you grew up near the Pennsylvania side of Ohio, you were a Penguins fan because Pittsburgh's closer to Ohio. And you'll have fans of different teams, but not a whole lot. So early in the Blue Jackets history, Red Wing games and Penguins games, you might have been outnumbered early. That's not the case anymore. That's really not the case. But there is a cool little aside to that. The Jackets seem to be one of those teams where fans of the other team will travel to see their team. It is not unusual or uncommon to see a good smattering of fans of the opposing team in the arena. Not enough that, you know, you dread out and, oh my gosh, there's a significant portion of X fan base, but enough that you notice, like, oh, hey, this is cool. So for instance, when I was able to go to more Blue Jackets games, like I would go, and like the biggest jar for me was seeing when the Jets came back, when the Winnipeg Jets came back, there were a bunch of Winnipeg Jet fans when I went to watch them play the Jackets. Nashville fans, for some reason, we got a lot of Nashville fans who liked to come up to Columbus and watch the Jackets play the Preds. There are lots of other teams. So especially of established teams, like you'll get Flyers fans if the Flyers play the Jackets. You'll get Capitals fans. But it's really one of those weird things where opposing teams, their fans will travel to Columbus to watch their team. So it's kind of cool that way.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, just a little, they've been around for 22 years. That's just some of the history. Oh, God, so they are a new club.
That long.
I know. I think they came out the same year as the Minnesota Wild.
Yes.
The year 2000.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, what is a Blue Jacket? That's a Civil War throwback?
It's a Civil War reference. I don't know what. So it is a Civil War reference. And I don't know why they didn't call them Blue Coats. They called them Blue Jackets. And so then, of course, if you say Blue Jacket, it's kind of like Yellow Jacket, which is how they got the Bug and Stinger. And I don't know why he's neon green and all of that.
He's a trip, yeah.
It was a bit much early. It was a bit much early, I'll say that. But that's where that came from, is definitely Ohio's, their gift to the Civil War. Gift's not the right word, but you know what I mean. Their participation in the Civil War and all of that. So that's where that came from.
Well, let's just get into some of the players that have played for that franchise. Well, I think I'm just going to say it. Johnny Gaudreau, that was the biggest shock for me.
Johnny Hockey?
Do you know him?
Was that a thing? Did that happen?
That was the biggest shock for me this offseason. Every year, always one big, like, what? And for me, the Johnny leaving Calgary was the biggest, like, jaw hit the floor. How did Columbus react?
Okay, so you're right and you're wrong.
Okay.
Johnny Gaudreau leaving Calgary wasn't the biggest jaw dropper. It's the fact
that chose Columbus.
He chose Columbus because as a Flyers fan, I can tell you, we had been ready for this moment for years. We knew that this was a possibility. Like, we were gearing up for it. It was Christmas in July, like, if Johnny leaves, he's coming home, baby. We got him. Mm-hmm. And the fact that it didn't happen with Philadelphia, which I think if he had left Calgary and gone to Philadelphia, nobody would have batted an eyelash. Mm-hmm. You chose Columbus?
Yeah.
That was the shock. And it's overblown to a certain extent because you hear about it a lot. You know, where were you when you heard? I will remember where I was when I found out Johnny Gaudreau came to Columbus. I was in the locker room getting changed. I was on the ice for a summer workout with my hockey team, my varsity hockey team, high school. We had just put the kids through a summer workout. And me and the other coaches and like one or two other people were in the locker room. And you know what you do when you're in the locker room, you start getting on your phone and looking around. And I just like, wait, the Jackets signed Johnny Gaudreau? And everybody just said, wait, what? And you start passing the phone around and then everybody else is on their phone. Like, are you kidding me? Like, yeah, it was bonkers. And everybody, even us here, were like, wait, how did this happen? If you haven't, and actually it's really, really funny. On YouTube, so every team now has their behind the scenes production where they go around and they follow the team and, you know, this, that, the other. So I think for the Jackets, I'm going to butcher it. It's either Beyond the Battle or Behind the Battle.
Yeah, Behind the Battle, I think.
Yeah.
2019.
And they actually had, because they had signed Gudbranson. And so they were going through day one of, or day whatever it was, of free agency. And so they had the cameras rolling when they had the signing of Gudbranson. And then the word trickled that Johnny Gaudreau was interested in Columbus. And even Jarmo Kekalainen is like, wait, what? Holy crap. And now you see them scrambling to get the work done. And yeah, that they actually showed like the front office's reaction to, wait, this can actually happen? Like that's everyone's reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, it's literally the biggest thing to happen to the Blue Jackets. It really, really is.
What's the GM's name?
Jarmo Kekalainen.
Jarmo Kekalainen. Okay.
Yes.
J-A-R-M-O. Well, and then I just want to go back to the year before when Liney joined the team. I thought that was exciting. I'm like, oh, well, also a bit of a surprise. Because I always think, who wants to play in Columbus after everyone left after the 2019, you know, we'll talk about that in a minute when they swept Tampa. But after that team had that insane first round sweep, and then they lost in game six in the second round of Boston.
Right.
They all left, they all dispersed. And it was just kind of sad to see all these superstars just, you know, go their separate way.
I didn't mind it. And this is part of the fun of being a fan, but not a fanatic, is you get to kind of, I got to take a step back and just A, appreciate it for what it was, but then B, take the broad look. So I don't know where you want to go into that, but that was a really, really interesting time. It was a really, really interesting idea from Jarmo's side and his reasoning behind it. And I wasn't that upset about everybody going. Actually, I know where we got started on this, and it was Laine.
Yeah.
That was huge. But we were really, really worried. We had a little bit of trepidation about that deal because the whole reason for getting Laine was we had a kid named Pierre-Luc Dubois who openly came out and said, I'm not going to resign here. And that, to your point, just adds to even further, nobody wants to play in Columbus.
Yeah.
He never opened up as to why he didn't want to be here. He just said, I don't want to be here. So, you know, you're trading a superstar potentially for another superstar potentially. So that deal made sense. The trepidation came with, can we keep Laine? Is Laine going to stay? Or is he going to be another one to add to that list of stars Columbus can't keep? Mm-hmm. And as silly as it was, part of the thinking of, Laine will stay. He's finished. So is Jarmo. Jarmo's finished. We'll get Patrick to stay. And we're like, we're talking ourselves into why a superstar is going to stay. But to his credit, Patrick stayed. Laine resigned. So, you know, that was the beginning for us. But I'll let you take the run here. If you want to talk about that 2019, like we can go down the checklist of why Jarmo didn't make the trades that he did, why he kept the team. And then why everybody split? Because everybody splitting, it was like Gaudreau. They had a reason to want to go. And it wasn't just, oh, I can't stand being in Columbus. That's Jeff Carter and Adam Foote. Mm-hmm. But everybody else, the writing was on the wall.
Yeah. Well, no, I just brought up Laine because I remember his draft year, 2016, Matthews was number one and then Laine was number two. And I remember like they were hyping them up and hyping them up. And Laine, he had a good first season. Then he hasn't really had the same level of success as Matthews. So I keep, you know, I've been keeping my eye on him and I'm like, oh, I hope one year he just pops off because he's young guy still. He's huge. Yeah. He's 6'5". I just hope he has a year. He just pops off.
And then he just got injured.
And they just got injured. So he's out to the next 2 to 4 weeks.
Yeah. With the Jackets supposed to be going to Finland for their European series again. Like, come on.
But yeah, no, let's just get right into that 2019 sweep because they've been around since the year 2000 and they've never had playoff success.
Right.
They made the playoffs, in 2018, the year before?
Yeah, and got swept.
By who?
No. Well, they made, so they made, that year they played the Penguins and got swept, but they made the playoffs, I forgot the year and that burns me, but they made the playoffs once. And they got swept by Detroit. And I remember that because I was still living in Bowling Green and a buddy of mine and I went to see game 3 in Detroit. So we made a road trip and got to see one of the final playoff games at Joe Louis Arena. So we got to see them play the Blue Jackets and Red Wings. And then, yeah, there was another long drought after that. And then, yeah, we got swept by the Penguins the previous year, which leads to 2019.
So Tampa Bay won the President's Trophy that year. And then what happened, Derek?
Then the old coach's axiom, you know, hard work beat talent because talent didn't work hard. The Jackets got a lot of goaltending from Bobrovsky.
Oh, he was awesome.
Just, I mean, not literally, but figuratively, just punched Tampa in the face and said, what are you going to do about it? And Tampa just, they couldn't respond. And that was a prime Tortorella team post-Tampa Bay where, you know, it was all just about, if you're going to beat us, fine, you're going to beat us, but we are going to make life absolutely miserable for you. And at that time, Tampa Bay just wasn't ready. They weren't ready. And so everybody kind of blames Columbus for, you know, Tampa's run. Because, you know, if Tampa doesn't come back hardened and steeled, you know, after that disappointment from 2019, you get the two cups and three finals, you know, in a row run from Tampa. Because, I mean, that was just, I mean, it was amazing to watch. And the city went bonkers. Like, Columbus just went absolutely bonkers. It was great.
Well, yeah, I think just even that whole series was iconic. That game one, when they came back, they did the comeback.
Yeah.
They were down 3-0, then tied it up, and then won it in regular time, 4-3. I think just even that themselves, they were stunned. You know, all the fans were like, the next day, everyone's like, oh, wow. Still no one thought they were going to get swept.
Yeah. Gentlemen's sweep. Oh, we'll let you win one. Okay. Now we'll come back and we'll be ready. And no.
So then we know what happens. They got swept. And then how did Columbus react? You said they freaked out. It was school canceled.
Like, so this ties into everything. There are the quote unquote smart fans who were looking at this saying, oh my God, you know, all your stars are leaving. Why didn't you trade them to get futures? You're not going to win the cup. You should stockpile and get what you can for these guys. Great. You sold out your season to not win the cup and you lost everybody. You set your franchise back. But looking at it from a Columbus standpoint, we'd been starved. We've been, as you said, at that point, you know, 19, 20 years in the league, hadn't done anything other than get swept in the playoffs. And that was twice. So out of your 20 years in the league, you haven't sniffed the playoffs, except for twice. You've got to give your fans something to be excited about. You cannot constantly keep selling rebuild and the future is going to get better. Like there has to be something to show for it. And there is the adage of once you get into the playoffs, who knows, anything can happen, right? The Flyers run that we talked about in the first episode that I was on, you know, the Flyers made that unexpected run, getting into the playoffs the last day of the season, getting to the cup finals. The LA Kings winning the cup as an 8 seed in the Western Conference. Like, you never know. And that Blue Jackets team had talent, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
So you never know the run that you can make. And I'll tell you, to experience that run in the playoffs, even though it was a second round loss, just getting over that first round hump, not just getting into the playoffs again, but getting over the first round hump, beating the President's Trophy winners in stunning fashion.
Yeah.
Like, who knew what to do with themselves? Well, everything was gravy. If you didn't enjoy that run, you're not in it for the fandom of hockey and the emotion. you're trying to make yourself believe you're smarter than everybody else is basically if you weren't happy with that playoff run.
Well, yeah, I think also it ruined everyone's bracket because even the preseason, everyone had Tampa picked. You know, I think my picks that year were obviously Colorado, who lost to San Jose. But yeah, it was Colorado and Tampa.
I forgot about all the brackets busted. Yes.
Yeah. But that was just a huge historic. I mean, there hasn't been a sweep like that since like the 80s. Go ahead.
I was about to say, and like, if you wanted to touch on it real briefly, like, can we go down the list? So Yarmo made the decision, you know, we can't keep pushing our chips forward, preaching the future. Like, we got to go for it. He had all these young players and all these draft picks, which is why he decided to make the run and bring in all the players that he tried to bring in, because he knew he was losing Panarin. He knew he was losing Bobrovsky. So you've got one of two things that you can do. You've got these premier talents, and they are premier talents. Mm-hmm. You can throw in the towel, quit on your team, and say, well, boys, we're folding up shop, and this year's a wash. Or you can, you know, as I put it, you know, you can go the major league route. Screw it. Let's win the whole thing. Yeah. And they threw their chips in and tried to make a run. They knew from the beginning of the season that they weren't going to get Sergei Bobrovsky back because he wanted to be the highest paid goalie in the league. The Jackets couldn't do it with their cap situation, and they didn't feel that he was worth being the highest paid goalie in the league. They knew they weren't giving Bobrovsky his contract.
Yeah.
So, okay, not a big deal. They knew they were losing Panarin because Panarin stated from the very beginning, dude, I'm going to New York. Like, it wasn't even like the Rangers were recruiting him. Like, he openly said, like, I've got two choices and one of them is the Rangers. So it wasn't a shock. Like, okay, we cannot re-sign him. So, okay, what are you going to do? Trade him to somebody else for, you know, pennies on the dollar, because he's not going to resign there because he's going to go to New York. Is New York going to trade for him? No, because they know he's coming. So what do you do with him? DeZingle we traded for. And okay, maybe you keep him, maybe you don't. But he was a guy that we traded for. He was basically a rental.
Duchesne
wanted to go to Nashville. That's where he went after this. We got Duchesne, but he was another one where he was already angling. I'm in the final year of my contract. I want to go play here. Yeah. So, okay. So we really weren't going to resign any of the players that we brought in. So they were all rentals specifically for this run. So the idea that, oh my God, Columbus can't keep any of their stars. Dude, we weren't keeping any of them anyway. Mm-hmm. It's no different than any other team where it's, okay, we're going to try to shore up and stock up and make this run, knowing we're not going to keep some of these guys. Mm-hmm. What really hurt was that sweep, that run, seeing the talent, and then seeing so many players leave at once, despite the fact that we knew they're all gone. And then the following year, losing Seth Jones. Yeah. Like that, you know, we already had, you know, I mentioned the Jeff Carter and Sergei Fedorov and Adam Foote situations. So that was kind of what this, the nobody likes playing in Columbus thing was. And then that 2019 exodus, which had nothing to do with the city and everything to do with everybody else making up their minds of what they wanted to do because they were all free agents. That didn't help either. That's where the pile-on came.
Yeah. Well, I see on the schedule you got Tampa coming to town this weekend. Is there still pride about beating Tampa a few years later? So,
I mean, we're not hung up on it as in like, we owed Tampa. It's more along the lines of, you know, we're not afraid of them. We know they're good. We know it's likely that we could get our butts kicked. At the same time, dude, we swept you guys. It's not out of the realm that we can't beat you. You know what I mean? So there is some of that lingering, but it's not anything like we're trying to make it a rivalry or make it a thing. there's always that lingering, hey, we always have 2019.
Yeah. Well, I know some hockey fans tend to have a long memory, you know, so if we beat you in 2005, you know, like we like to bring it up or something, you know what I mean? Like,
I think the thing with that, there's two things with that that prevents it from being a thing. One is they went on to win two consecutive cups and battle for a third. Yeah. Like we've got some catching up to do. But then the other part too is it was so stunning. It wasn't like there was bad blood and it was a blood feud and it went seven games and there was an incident that set it off and oh my God, what's going to happen when these guys get together? It was just that was a thing that happened. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of just went on from there.
Well, no, you mentioned rivalries. Who is Columbus's rivalry? Like one of the questions I usually ask, like, which team do you hate to lose to? But what's that like for Columbus fans? Who's their?
So this is the one for me.
Or do they hate everybody because they?
I don't know if we actually hate anyone. Early, it would have been Detroit and Pittsburgh because of the proximity. And yeah, because if you were a Blue Jackets fan and a Blue Jackets fan, you hated the idea that these guys could bring their teams and their fan base and drown out Columbus, being, you know, Detroit and Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. So early, it was those two teams because of proximity and neighbor and, you know, this is our team. This is Ohio. Like, how can you still root for, you know, Detroit, Pittsburgh, get out of our stadium? Anymore now, it's kind of hard to say. Like, there's still the thing with Detroit and Columbus because, I mean, proximity. And because yeah, if you're a Red Wings fan, you're a diehard Red Wings fan. And, you know, mm-hmm, you're going to enjoy, you know, pissing on Columbus and Ohio because Michigan, Ohio, I don't know if you're aware of this, is kind of a thing.
Oh, yeah.
So there's always the Red Wings. I don't know if the Penguins are still that big a rivalry. You know what I mean? But I don't think we have that hatred and that enmity towards anyone to really call anybody else, you know, a true, true rival. I mean, you can't say Minnesota, even though we came in together. We don't have a built-in thing with Minnesota outside of that. Yeah. You know, it's hard. We don't really hate anybody, you know. Yeah. Everybody just craps on us.
Yeah. Well, it's easy to do. No, I'm just kidding.
It's Ohio. I put it like this. Everybody hates on Ohio, but at least we're worth your hate or your pity. It could be worse. We could be some other state that you don't even think about. You know, yeah. Well, Ohio is, you know, yeah, just
you guys could be the Browns, but which no. have they ever won anything? The Browns?
No.
That's uncanny.
Sadness.
Yeah, that's crazy that they still have a team there.
That's a whole other
thing. That's a whole other podcast.
I mean, I know sport. All about that, but that's a whole other thing. So I am a lapsed football fan. I grew up playing football. Football was my sport right up until about maybe college, and actually even a little bit post-college. I would say just after college. And then really, I have stopped watching the NFL because there's just too many issues. But so I went to Bowling Green State, and at the time, I was a sports management major. That's why I love all this inside stuff, all the behind the scenes stuff, all the business, because that's what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And before sports blew up and became a big business, it was a niche thing. And there weren't a lot of schools that offered sports business as an undergrad major. Mm-hmm. And Bowling Green was a top school as an undergrad major for sports management. A lot of your schools, if they had it, and good schools, it was a post-grad thing. Now, if you've got a business school, you've got a sports management program because sports over the last 25 years has just become that huge a business. So, you know, I can go wide, wide, wide. And especially because, again, half my life has been in Ohio. I can tell you all about, you know, the hatred of Art Modell and how the Browns thing happened and all of that. But yeah, that's how I can go so wide, is because that's always been an interest of mine, as you know, from a kid to now.
Yeah. Well, let's get into just another Blue Jackets gimmick. What do you think of the cannon?
I love the cannon.
I just watched a little clip. There's a crew of eight that help. Every time the cannon goes off, there's eight people there. I was like, oh, that's interesting.
So in and of itself, when you heard the Gaudreau news, did you go on YouTube at all to see what the deal was? Or
no, not really. Just,
no? Okay.
No.
So if you can, and for anybody listening to this episode, just Google in Gaudreau hates the cannon. Because there's a YouTube clip of every time Gaudreau would visit Nationwide Arena as either a Flame, and especially for the All-Star game. And every time the cannon would go off, Gaudreau just flinches. And there's even literally one where he's like, every time, like it gets him. And it's funny because lots of people, their first time at Nationwide, they have that reaction. That's a Columbus thing. We love, wait, okay, who's new? Who hasn't been here? And we just look for people to flinch every time the cannon goes off. I thought it was a really cool gimmick. I thought it was really interesting. It's a thing now. Like, once you've gone to one or two Jackets games, or if you've watched enough on TV that you get the rhythm down, the cannon itself going off doesn't surprise you. What surprises you is how loud it is.
Yeah,
because in that arena, it's loud. Not ear splitting, not burst your eardrums loud, but it is a shock. Like, whoa, okay, that thing does have some pop to it. But yeah, I mean, it's I love it as a gimmick, and I love that people hate it.
Yeah, do they ever like stuff T-shirts inside of it and turn it to a giant T-shirt cannon? Hey, that's an idea if you're listening, Blue Jackets.
They don't do it that. But we do have a T-shirt Gatling gun.
Oh, even better.
So if you've ever seen the T-shirt cannon where they stuff a T-shirt in and it's just a pop. No. We've got this contraption, and I'm sure it's somewhere else too. But no, we literally have this contraption where it's like multiple barrels in a big round circle. And Stinger gets up there from a platform and he turns this giant crank and it's just whoop, whoop. Whoop, whoop, like eight T-shirts, and then they reload it, and he turns it up, and just whoop, whoop. So we have a T-shirt Gatling gun. I am a dork for the Gatling gun. I love it because it's just, who doesn't like watching people get shot with T-shirt cannons or seeing T-shirts get launched like hundreds of yards? Like, I don't know. I get giddy.
So Stinger, is he beloved by the Blue Jackets fans?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, he is, because he's ours. He's our ugly, stupid bug. I don't know if I can speak for all Columbus fans, but I know I'm not the only one that shares the sentiment. We like Stinger the mascot. We don't like Stinger the logo. Like, as hockey fans, you know, we don't like cheesy. We don't like corny. We're super traditionalist in certain ways. So having that ugly blue, you know, ugly green bug on our jerseys and, you know, being a laughingstock for that right out of the gate, we're a little touchy and sensitive about that. Caps, logos, hats, things for the kids, it makes sense. Stinger, the mascot, makes sense. But Lord help you if you try to throw Stinger on another one of our jerseys. Like, we'd hate it.
Not cool. But I don't know, not to sidestep too far, but Seattle unveiled their new mascot. What are your quick thoughts on the troll? I know a lot of people hate it. They're like, you blew an opportunity to make a Kraken mascot, or, you know, make a Davy Jones type this or that.
So there's two things that I come across, and especially when it comes to fandom, and I credit this with from Jeff Merrick on the 32 Thoughts podcast now, but he said something that has really stuck out. And every time I want to have a knee jerk reaction to something, I just have Merrick's voice in my head, and he said that he took this from somebody else, and he just goes, not everything's made for you. Once you understand that, it's easy to let some things go. So I'm with you. My thought was, like you said, oh my God, why can't you do this? Or why couldn't you do that? Oh, you had a perfect opportunity to. And I said, you know what? It's not for me. Like, I call myself a Kraken fan, but I'm not in that fan base and I'm not in that city. Mm-hmm. I can't say anything about it. Plus, we talked about this in the Philadelphia episode, gritty. And that's the second part that I take. When they introduced gritty to a room full of kids in a children's museum, mm-hmm. where else were you going to introduce gritty to? And then one of the primary thoughts that they had about gritty was they wanted to make him, as they said, something you would want to high five, but not necessarily hug. Well, that's gone the wayside. Now everybody loves gritty, from kids to adults. But we went into that. Coming back to Stinger, I don't know how adults react to Stinger. Adults say, okay, it's our mascot, whoop-de-doo. Kids love Stinger.
Yeah.
Kids love Stinger. It's a mascot. Of course kids are going to love it. So when you go back now to Seattle, and I'm looking at the troll and I'm just thinking, okay, but again, A, it's not for me. And B, how do the kids react? Because if the kids like the troll, that's what matters. It ain't us. It ain't the adults. It ain't, mm-hmm. you know, anybody else who, you know, is a hockey fan first. And oh my God, like, who really wants to go and say, oh my God, I love our mascot.
Yeah.
But if the kids like it, if the kids enjoy it, then you've got the home run, because that's what they're there for. So I don't really have an opinion on the troll.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point. Yeah.
Plus the other thing too is, how would you do an actual Kraken or octopus or tentacled mascot? Because even the Red Wings failed to do that, because, you know, they've got that long history with the octopus, and there's octopi everywhere, and they've got the giant octopus that descends from the ceiling and the pregame stuff. And even they can't do anything more with an octopus with that. And again, like, do you really want scary, super scary Davy Jones to be your mascot and scare kids?
I want children to be terrified. Well, no, I guess if you're not from Seattle, there is some lore about a troll living under a bridge. That's, I think only like area fans would know that.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know. Like, I was surprised. So, insider, I used to live in Olympia, Washington, which is about an hour south mm-hmm. of Seattle. And I always wanted to go up there. And when I was living there, like, I didn't know, like, half of Seattle or most of Seattle is underground. Like, they've got an underground city.
Yeah.
I had no clue. So, you know, so you bring up something like there's, you know, local lore about a troll or something, like, that could absolutely be the thing. You know, all anybody else knows is, oh, hey, here's Seattle's new mascot. Oh my God, it's a troll. This is stupid. But again, if you're from that area, maybe that makes total sense. I don't know. It's not for me.
Yeah, I think they could have ugged the troll up a little bit. He just looks too wholesome for me. Again. But you're right. I do agree it is for the kids, you know, I think.
You know, do you want the kids to like it and come up and give it a hug and be excited when you want to come in? Then I think it's not too bad.
Well, so segue in my next question. It wouldn't be an episode with you without talking about some goalies. So Bobrovsky is now in Florida, and now you guys have Elvis, and I always butcher his name,
Merzlikins.
Merzlikins, yeah.
Elvis Merzlikins.
And he's like a fan favorite, or he's pretty good, right?
Yes, and we're holding our breath on Elvis. So one, A, how can you not like a guy named Elvis? Foreign guy named Elvis, nonetheless, you know.
Even better.
You know, from, you know. And then he comes in with a whole bunch of personality. So, oh my gosh, you know, a dude named Elvis with outward, you know, energy and personality. How can you not like the guy? And he was good. And that was kind of a hidden thing with Columbus is we had some decent goalies coming up through our system where, like, okay, we're going to lose Bobrovsky. We'll be all right in a couple of years. It's not a thing. It's not a worry. Like we'd mentioned with Line A, injuries have been the thing to worry about with Elvis. And, you know, with Eunice Corposalo. And so Elvis had the one good year 2 years ago when he first came up. Eunice Corposalo was supposed to be our number one. And Elvis kind of came in and, you know, forced it to be a 50-50 split. And then last year was just a bad year all around for everybody. So now we're kind of like, okay, let's wait and see. And we had hopes that Elvis would come in and give us year one Elvis again. And it was trending that way, except, you know, injuries. And so now we're kind of like holding our breath and fingers crossed. But if you know, Elvis can be decent. Elvis mm-hmm. can be average or above average. You know, he's not going to be top tier superstar, at least not, you know, not yet, but he's going to be far from terrible.
Yeah. And then just another question, because this was very sad. Matisse.
Lefkenix, yeah.
Yeah, you're so good with these last names. I mean, I could try, but I'll just sound like a substitute teacher. Kilinenix? So he had a tragic 4th of July accident. Yes. How did Columbus respond? Or Elvis in particular as well.
That devastating is the easiest way. One, it's never easy losing a member of your team / organization as a fan base, especially considering the circumstances, all of the circumstances. 4th of July accident. The fact that he died, putting himself in front of other people, basically saving lives. The fact that it happened at the goalie coach's house, the fact that it happened with all the goalies there, Elvis in particular, and they were tight because they had come up through the organization together. They were partners in the AHL. They were close friends. It was Manny Legacy is the goalie coach for the Columbus Blue Jackets. They were all there together because Manny Legacy's daughter had gotten married. Mm-hmm. So it's his daughter's wedding weekend. If it wasn't like the night before, it was like that day. So like, it's a celebration of, you know, all kinds of importance. And then to lose a young kid who by every account was beloved, you know, tragedies just, you know, just, it's trite, but it's the only thing that you can say about it. And yeah, that really, really affected Elvis as much as we try not to think that it would. Like, you try to go on and put on the brave face and we're going to play the season for you know, Matisse and his family. And like, that's just hard. And then I don't know if you're aware of this, and I'm going to bring it up because, I mean, it's part of the story. Then you have situations, I believe it was Dallas. I can't remember if that's correct off the top of my head. But you had a situation where Columbus is on the road, they're going someplace, and on the walk out, somebody sees Elvis and makes a fireworks joke or something. Ugh. Yeah, and that just sets him off. And I mean, I want to say it was Dallas, and I hope it's not wrong, but wherever it was, like, thankfully, like, the fans around that person were quick to jump on it. They got the ushers, they kicked the guy out of the game, you know, but yeah, like, and I can't imagine, like, that might've been like the only place, but it was the place that Elvis heard it. Like, yeah, it was hard. It was just really hard.
Yeah. I mean, there's taunting and then there's just like, what even is that? Get out of here.
Right. I mean, come on.
But I know the Blue Jackets did hang a number 80 banner from the ceiling. I think that's a sweet tribute.
Yeah, that's up there. I don't know if they've retired the number officially or not. But I mean, yeah, they hung the banner. They've pretty much said, yeah, your 80's off limits. But, you know, you move on. And like I said, they got through last year.
Yeah.
And this year, everybody's back with higher spirits and you know, renewed energy.
Yeah. But just to move forward, I guess, does the Blue Jackets have any retired numbers? Is
no.
Rick Nash?
Oh, he will be. Okay. Okay. So this is where being a Columbus second team fan is going to bite me in the butt. I do not remember if they did it last year or not. This is also where being a high school hockey coach bites me in the butt. I don't get to as many games as I would like to get to.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been to one Blue Jackets game in about the last 4 years, 3 years,
mm-hmm.
Because they play when my team plays. If they're not doing it this year, I think they did it last year. I think Nash's number is the only one that's retired, and I think they did it last year. They did it last year at a with the Bruins as the opponent because he played for the Bruins also.
Yeah, because he's the player I think of, you know, when you see the logo for the Blue Jackets, mm-hmm. I think of Rick Nash, and I never even followed him. I just remember his jersey, you know, if I saw anyone with a Blue Jackets jersey, it was his name on the back. He was
the first Blue Jacket star. Mm-hmm. He's the first guy you think of. He's Mr. Blue Jacket, yeah.
Yeah, his number 61 was retired, earlier this year in 2022, March 2022.
Yep. Yeah. So it was last year. We've got some fan favorites here and players that we've loved and players that we hate and, you know, like a good fan base.
You brought up, I always, you know, keep track of former Colorado players, but I didn't know that Adam Foote was briefly a Blue Jacket. And then also, you know, Jack Johnson just won a cup with us and Matt Calvert played for that.
We're happy for Jack.
Oh yeah. I mean, we just raised our banner in Colorado and he's with Chicago. So we invited him over for the team picture and stuff. I thought that was a pretty sweet gesture. And then who else is Werenski? He's been there his whole career.
Well, yeah, Werenski is still there. So he was one of the first ones like, oh my God, we lost Seth Jones. We've got Werenski. Can we keep Werenski? He's like, yeah, I'm not going anywhere. So like that was a huge one for us. We traded Calvert. We traded Johansson. Cam Atkinson, if there's a number two for us,
I think he is number Cam. Two.
If there's a for, number like, two Blue Jacket, it would be Cam. But that was a deal. Like, we hated seeing Cam go. We were happy to get Voracek back because we traded Voracek to the Flyers, mm-hmm. and the Flyers fans say thank you. We were sad to see Cam go. Happy to get Voracek back. And Cam loves Columbus. Still has a house here, has a business here. He's probably, when he retires, is probably going to come back. Cam is another big one. And that's one of those things that helped get Gaudreau to Columbus, mm-hmm. was that the players who like Columbus love Columbus. You know, Adam Foote, when you're going from Denver to Columbus, you know, I get it. Jeff Carter came from Philadelphia, young guy, partier. You're going from big city Philadelphia to college town Columbus.
Yeah.
After signing a huge deal, thinking you're going to stay in Columbus or stay in Philadelphia, you know, and then I'm not going to dive into that because being a Flyers fan, you hear all kinds of stuff about Carter and Richie, so I'll leave that alone. Mm-hmm. Sergei Fedorov, and I don't know if it was so much he didn't like Columbus, but Sergei was an enigma. You know, he tried when he wanted to, and when he didn't want to, he really didn't.
Well,
you know?
That was the twilight of his career. Was that the last one he played with?
I believe so, unless we traded him again after, but I don't know if we did or not. But yeah, Sergei, and yes, towards the end of his career. So, you know.
Well, yeah, a fun fact about Sergei is his number still isn't retired in Detroit.
Which tells you some things about Sergei.
Yeah, because I have a Detroit episode with David Sparks. Hey, David. And he brought that up, and I was shocked too.
Yeah. Oh, the fans all want it. Like, yeah, the fans. Why isn't this a thing? And there are people in Detroit like, because.
So usually I say, why should your team win? But just yes or no, are they going to make the playoffs this year?
I'm going to say yeah.
Ooh, that's exciting.
I'm going to say yeah. And here's why. There's always a team that does worse than you think. There's always a team that does better than you think. I don't know who that team that's going to do worse than you think is, because you never know, and I'm not Nostradamus.
Yeah.
But the Blue Jackets, as bad as they were, and they were bad, and last season, they gave up a team record for goals against. And any Blue Jackets fan will tell you, like, the goaltending wasn't nearly good enough. That I can't speak on, because I didn't see it nearly as many games, but I understand the sentiment. But we were still like a handful of points out of a playoff spot. I think the number was like 9. Not close enough that you can say, oh man, we just missed it.
Yeah.
But not so far away that you can't say, like, they were there. They were feistier than they had any reasonable right to be.
Yeah.
And we finished above 500. So if you take the idea that you really can only go up, you really want to take a step forward. Yes, yeah. Other teams really got better as well. And no, outside of Gaudreau, we really didn't do much else to really pop. You know, we had to lose a little bit of our depth to bring Johnny Hockey in.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if the goaltending got better, if Line A can stay healthy, and if Gaudreau even puts up 80 to 90 points.
And Ken Johnson, he's another one of your...
Kent Johnson is one of our new shiny toys. Yegor Chinnikov.
Yeah,
that's a name I'm going to butcher. That's the one I cannot get right. But the young Russian is another one that we had high hopes for. So we've got some young players. The team seems really tight. They like Brad Larsen, the coach. I don't have a problem with Lars, the coach. Like, if there's an uptick, there's not a real reason why we shouldn't be just as feisty. Are we going to win a playoff round? I don't know about that. But could we find ourselves in a situation where the Jackets sneak in?
Ooh,
I would say, yeah.
Well, that's kind of what happened in 2019. Their last 2 weeks of the season, they were the hottest team.
Oh, my God. Nobody wanted to play us.
You just need a streak like that. Or, hey, you know, a good team could lose 5 in a row. Or something stupid like that, you know?
Yes.
Do you know anything about your number 6 pick overall, David Jiříček?
No. I know that
he's with your farm team. Was it the Cleveland Monsters?
Yeah, the Cleveland Monsters. Yes. No, outside of the fact that he played with Simon Nemec. And it's funny, I'm gonna come back to that. But outside of that, I know nothing about him outside of just watching the draft and hearing what they had to say. Another big body that played a ton of minutes for that team. This draft I was a little bit out on. I just knew the big names at the top. But I couldn't say I knew anything about anybody outside the top 3 or 4.
Yeah.
So no, I don't know much. I know they had an opportunity to play with a bunch of different teams. He could have gone back to junior hockey. He could have gone back to the Czech Pro League. I think it was Czech. Yeah. Could have gone back to the Czech Pro League. He could have stayed up with Columbus, or he could have gone to the AHL. Like, so that was the big thing coming out of camp, was where were they going to put him? They ultimately decided to send him to the AHL and play with Cleveland, which, as you know, has quite a history of producing some good teams and players and coaches from what I understand. So,
Yeah.
Jared Bednar.
Yeah. He's awesome. Well, and then
that's
also
where he coached before they hired him.
Yeah, and he won Memorial Trophy or what is that called?
No, that's what is the AHL Cup? I forget what the AHL
Calder.
Trophy. Yes.
Calder.
Yeah, so he won a Calder
something. Yeah.
Yep. He won a Calder Cup with the Monsters. And yeah, we had Torts, so we couldn't keep him.
Yeah. Well, and that if Columbus does go belly up. Which I don't think they're going to be basement dwellers. I don't think they'll be bottom four, but the number one pick for next year is going to probably be this stud Connor Bedard.
Well, unless he drops to fourth. I mean, when does that happen? But yeah, that.
So that's
no honor
lining.
For Connor seems to be the that or lose hard for Bedard. I don't know which one Flyer fans are rooting for, but we'll see what happens. But I don't think we'll be in the Bedard sweepstakes.
Yeah. Well, that's all I got for you, Derek. Do you got anything else to add for your second team?
No, like I said, we're all really, really excited to see what happens this year. The hope is that we stay healthy, because Lord, losing Line A this early, that just kind of
What's that, shoulder or something?
Yeah, shoulder or arm collision. Or something. I'm like, oh, here's the hit that took out Lightning. No, thanks. Not going to watch that.
Yeah.
I'm already sad.
I know. Like, I'm already back in the NHL hockey mode because the Avs lost to Calgary last night. It's just a back-to-back games. They got to Calgary at 4 a.m. Blah, 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 excuses. But whenever my team loses, I never want to watch the highlights. I'm just like, I don't want to. But I made myself, so.
So I'll give you a couple of things here. Let's see what I got. So odd fact, this has no importance and no tie back to Columbus, but we mentioned it. So you mentioned number one pick this year was Simon Nemich, and his partner was David Juracek. So I coached a kid, and when I was coaching at Ohio State, I had his older brother, who I also coached as an assistant coach, and their last name was Nemich. So I know a couple Nemiches. So that's kind of funny. What other little fun facts? Another fun, not so much a fun fact, but a point of pride for us is we mentioned all the other fans from other cities coming and, watching games at Nationwide Arena. Nationwide Arena actually has a pretty good rep as a stadium. As an arena to come and watch a game. It's a very, very fun place, good sight lines. When I've talked to fans from other teams, they seem to enjoy watching a game at Nationwide. So we're really, really proud of that fact.
Well, it's from the 2000s, right? I mean, that stadium, there's only been one, right?
Yes, yeah, it's the only one that we've had. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like, it's a cool little building. And like I said, it's got a great, there's a district around it called the Arena District. We've got a lot of restaurants, a lot of bars, and it's right downtown. So it's off of the Scioto River. It's a cool little area to be. It's a good looking building from the outside. There's the Blue Jackets practice facility is attached to the building. And so our AAA program practices and plays out of that building. You play men's league out of there. We have two high school teams that play out of that building. So it gets a lot of use. One of the cool things is that when you come to the game, there's one of the sides of the arena is a glass wall partition. So you can watch what's happening in the practice rink from the main arena. So as you're walking the concourse during an intermission, you can watch a game going on or a practice going on at the, at the practice facility. So that's always cool. We're very, very proud of our arena, and hockey's growing in Columbus at a good rate. I moved to Columbus, like I said, about 10, 12 years ago. And when I moved down here, there were maybe 10 high schools that had a hockey program. I think that's the number. I cannot remember. But my favorite fun fact to throw out was that every year with the exception of like two, for the first 10 years I was here, a new hockey program started up. So if the Jackets have been around for, you said 22 years, I'm willing to bet that there's been a new high school hockey program that has been formed or created, let's say 15 out of those 22 years.
Yeah.
And we've got four different youth hockey organizations out of the city. We have the second largest adult hockey program behind San Jose.
Awesome.
And yeah, like it's been great living here and seeing hockey grow and seeing it all be because of the Blue Jackets. And I mean, and you talk about, you know, the fact that we really haven't had much playoff history, let alone playoff success. But this is what the city has done and become, just having a team here. Imagine if we got good and stayed good. You know what I mean?
We'll see the next, we'll see this year and the however long Johnny's contract is.
Oh, I mean, and the fact that Columbus is pumping out pro hockey players, legit NHL hockey players now, like that is another big source of pride for us.
I remember in like the Frozen Four, you know, because I follow college hockey, we'd play Miami and everyone would be like Florida. And but it's like, oh, no, of Ohio.
Of Ohio. Which blows my mind.
Are they still around?
Yes, they're still around. They're still a high profile hockey team, which coming from Bowling Green kills me because it's a gorgeous campus and a gorgeous rink, a gorgeous arena out in the middle of absolute nowhere. I don't understand it.
But sounds like
they still pump out really good hockey players. And that was one of the things that blows our mind. Let's go college hockey. That blows our mind about Ohio State and why Ohio State men's, because the women's won the national championship last year. Okay. But why the Ohio State men's program isn't as good as it is, because Miami steals. I shouldn't even say steals. Miami gets a lot of the best Columbus-born players because Ohio State, for whatever reason, doesn't want them. Like it's literally like the Columbus pipeline, they call it, because Columbus hockey players tend to go to Miami. They don't stay.
Yeah, I think they have more established program there.
But they weren't even like recruiting them. So here, funny story. Which player is it? Oh my God, I'm going to brain fart, but I'll catch it later. Anyway, right when our AAA program was becoming a thing, we had a highly touted, highly recruited player, ended up being a first round pick. And oh my God, I cannot remember, I cannot remember this player's name, but he was being recruited. He knew he didn't want to go play junior hockey. He was going to go play NCAA because he was American. His dad was American. His dad played college hockey. And he took a recruiting visit to Ohio State. And his mom went with him on the visit. And he shared the same last name as a prominent NHL player, but that wasn't his dad. His dad was a Blue Jackets like front office person, but it wasn't the same person. And this coach who was taking this recruit on his visit and on his walk throughout Ohio State said, oh, isn't so-and-so joining us? Referring to his dad. But again, he asked for the NHL player that shared the player's last name.
Is it Robitaille?
No, it wasn't Robitaille. Oh my God. I'm going to have to look this up, and I know we're going to take another sojourn, and I really didn't want to take another sojourn and blow up your pod. Let me see if I can find this real quick on the Google machine.
Well, you guys had a Hobie Baker winner in 2011.
Here it is. So here's the, he plays for the Jets. Who is it? So you had the short, Connor Murphy.
Okay.
So Connor Murphy, was the player they were trying to recruit. And yeah, they brought him into Ohio State and they thought his dad was like the NHL player.
And they
asked why he wasn't on the recruiting visit with him. Like, that's not my dad. Like, how do you bring in a recruit and not know who his dad is or isn't?
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Like, that sends such a wrong message. You had the Sherwood brothers, Cole and Kiefer, who played. They ended up going to Miami. Sean Karai, Jack Roslovic, all those guys, Cole Castles, all those kids came up in Columbus and, yeah, either went juniors or went to Miami because they didn't stay out of public. And so you had Murphy Cole Castles. So Andrew was his dad. And even they said, like, we weren't recruited by Ohio State. Like, now you've got another pro kid, like, right here in your backyard.
Yeah.
And Ohio State, nah.
Well, maybe everyone's going to Michigan, too. Michigan won the NCAA a few years ago, and right?
I'd understand that if they went to Michigan, but they weren't. They either went junior college or junior college. They either went to juniors or they went to Ohio State. Like, how do you lose these kids? That is the one thing that blows our mind is the women's team is great.
Yeah.
You know, we're putting out NHL caliber players. We're putting out junior players. Why isn't Ohio State hockey better? Who knows? Mystery.
Well, Derek, that's the episode. I want to say, but before, because we could talk about college hockey for another, we'll save it
for another episode later.
But you heard it here, folks. You heard it here first. The Blue Jackets are going to the playoffs, according to Derek. So we'll see.
Check back with me mid-season.
Well, I definitely will. I'm going to check back in with you with the Flyers around Christmas time. We'll see how we are. But thank you so much, and
thank you again. I love
talk
this.
To
I
you
love
later.
Speaking with you, this is fun.
Yeah, I always have fun with you, Derek.
I love the episodes. I get excited because this is great. So, until next time.
Until next time.